In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. When you play a new game, are you the kind of person that reads all the rules before you start? Or do you just like a quick explanation to get things going right away and worry about the rules later when a problem happens? I like to read the whole booklet of rules, which drives some of my family members crazy. I see some heads nodding in the back. That was not supposed to happen. Anyway, but it's interesting that when something goes wrong during the game and an argument arises, everyone will consult the rules to make sure they win the argument. People choose sides, and the rules are used to arbitrate the dispute. And those who can make their case based on the rules will win the game. In a similar way, we tend to apply that principle in other areas of our life. We see rules and regulations as things we turn to when we are in the midst of an argument. And because of that, I fear that this is how we can approach our epistle reading for today from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul here is offering Timothy a description of the qualities for pastors and deacons, the leaders of the church. How easy it would be to read through this list and do a mental evaluation of your pastor and decide whether he should be in or out. If things are tough, if congregational life is not going the way you desire, how easy would it be to turn to 1 Timothy 3 and begin to make an argument either for or against your pastor? While there are situations where we need to look at this list of qualifications and decide if a person should enter the ministry or not, or remove a person from it, that's not the only function for this list of qualifications. And this morning, I would like to consider this list of qualifications as you would a list of rules at the beginning of a game, before fights have started, before feelings have been hurt, before something has happened that needs to be judged. I would like to consider this list of qualities as a picture of the kind of community that a church will become. When a church has leaders like this, what does it look like? When is it like to live in, how, and what is it like to live in such a community? In this list of qualifications, God offers us a helpful vision of the ministry and the life in the community of faith. God offers us a helpful vision of the ministry and of life in the community of faith. In all our readings this morning, we have a contrast of two kinds of community. One that's wayward and one that follows the way of the Lord. The wayward communities are concerned only about themselves. In the book of Amos, they have surrounded themselves with beautiful music and luxurious furnishings to celebrate their faith. Even though there is great injustice in the world, they close their doors to the world and celebrate being at ease in Zion. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells us that the rich man reclines at a feast while God has placed the poor man at his door. The self-indulgence of the rich man blinds him to an opportunity for charity. It's more important to care for himself than others. In the first letter to Timothy, Paul offers a different vision for the church in Ephesus. In a community that follows the way of the Lord, the leader of that community will not be a lover of money, not be drawn to excess, but live in moderation and conduct himself with self-control. He will control his concerns for himself and cultivate his concerns for others. As Paul notes, he will be hospitable, caring for God's church, and have a good reputation among those outside the faith. The difference between the two communities is the difference between a life of self-service and a life of self-sacrifice. Communities can focus their needs and attend to their own desires, or they can focus on their Lord and his desire for the church. Christ created his church through his act of self-sacrificial love. Although he had no sin, he bore the punishment for sin on our behalf so that we might become children of God. He forgives our selfish struggle to care for ourselves and reveals that not only are we cared for by God, but we are also gifted by God to care for others. And our Lord raises among us pastors who control concerns for the self and cultivate concerns for others to lead us in acts of self-sacrificial love. For example, in some major cities, there have been churches that form partnerships in the gospel. A wealthy suburban church forms a partnership with an under-resourced urban congregation. Rather than living at ease in Zion, congregations are drawn to sharing the life of Christ with others, supporting financially and going into those communities with acts of love and service. God's vision for his church leaders and for his churches is that the communities be communities of self-sacrifice to work for others. As you can see, God offers us a vision of a community that works for others, but not only that, he also offers us a vision of a community that grows through care and gracious conversation. Almost at the center of Paul's list of qualities in 1 Timothy is the ability to teach. God desires that his communities of faith be led by pastors who are able to teach. False teaching was a problem for the church in Ephesus. Paul warns Timothy several times about false teachers, and he offers clear directions on how to teach. However, what is interesting here is how the ability to teach is listed among and related to other qualities that the pastor should possess. Teaching does not happen in a vacuum. In fact, teaching is best done in relation to the life of the teacher. When Jesus calls his disciples, he calls them not only to listen to him, but also to follow him and to learn from him by participating in his ministry. For example, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus began the Passover celebration by washing his disciples' feet. After such humble and even humiliating service, Jesus asks his disciples this in John 13. Do you understand what I have unto you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Teaching is joined to life experience. Teaching is joined to life experience. And the life experience at the very heart of Christian teaching is that of salvation. We heard Paul telling that to Timothy a couple Sundays ago in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Through God's gracious work, forgiving sin and granting salvation, he prepares pastors to teach. They share with others this word of grace that saves. More and more, our world is filled with contention, division, and opposition. Social media celebrates those who are fierce warriors for their beliefs. Apparently, a loving conversation is no longer trusted to bring about change. Instead, words are for war and triumph, not dialogue and care. But for Christians, God's war is on sin and Satan. God delivers people through Christ, who suffered the punishment of sin on the cross and rose from the grave to reveal his triumph over death and the devil. And this victory is shared by messengers who themselves are recipients of grace and who is speaking love, not anger, toward others. Paul's words then apply to pastors and the people they lead today. Paul encourages Timothy to find pastors who are not bullies as they relate to others. Theology can indeed become a tense discussion. And it has to be, because people's eternal lives are at stake. But being quarrelsome or arrogant or belligerent toward others for the sake of scripture truth is not Paul's picture of the pastor. Rather, Paul encourages pastors to teach with a gentle spirit so that the pastor is above reproach and people do not dismiss the message because of the messenger. At the heart of the world, of a world filled with injustice and violence, is God's church. At the heart of the church is our gracious Lord and his work of salvation. Faithful conversation in our world is difficult, but Paul encourages pastors to be above reproach, respectable, gentle, not quarrelsome, creating communities that grow through care and gracious conversation. And in the same way, the list of qualifications for pastors shows how it grows out of love, out of the love of God in Christ. In Jesus Christ, the eternal world, the eternal word became living flesh and dwelt among us. God entered into a saving relationship with us. God began his work relationally. And in the church, God continues his work through human relationships. He leads not only through words, but also through life. God offers a list of qualities for pastors so that he can work through them to form congregations that work for the good of others and grow through care and gracious conversation. May it be so among us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.